Pelican Farrell makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Farrell's got a 2-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Farrell is finally the one. American Farrell has won the Triple Crown.
Welcome back, guys. Another edition of Holy Trinity Football Podcast. Horse Racing Edition. Breeders' Cup Preview. As you just heard, American Farrell won the Triple Crown back in June. And as many people do not know, the horse racing world does continue on into the summer, leading up to this very weekend. Very fired up for it. American Farrell back in action. We'll get to that. But as usual, me, AY here, joined by the horse racing guru from the Charm City, Corey Roth. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, Ant. A lot happened this summer. I guess we have to figure out what's going to happen this weekend, though.
Yes. It was a very big summer in the horse racing world with new horses sprouting up, some names we forgot that missed Triple Crown. And as many Americans just focus on the three-year-old division, there are many, many other divisions in different countries, on different surfaces, of different ages. And they all come together this one weekend for the biggest weekend in horse racing by most accounts. So very fired up for this. A ton of races, a ton of huge races, big fields. Great action on the way. And let's dive right into it. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, on I believe NBC is the coverage on all these.
Yeah, I think it's NBC Sports Friday and early Saturday, switching over at like 3 approximately on Saturday for the Classic.
And if you want to get real into it, I know it's on HRTV or TVG, one of those two.
They're the same thing now.
Yeah, bought out. So yeah, I think it's like channel 284 where I am. Just, you'll find it. You can catch all the races or head to your local casino or OTB and watch them there and play some wagers. We're here to hopefully help you out, give you a little bit of insight. I know my knowledge, my research has been a little bit behind, as most of you guys, well, as you probably figured, with the college football and everything starting up. But I do like to keep tabs on this. Corey has been going at it hard for the past week or so, catching up on, we've been in tune, but really not grinding away. And hopefully we have some good stuff for you here. So let's get started off with, we're going to do five of the main races with some notes on maybe a few others, just some names to look for. Starting off on Friday with the Las Vegas Dirt Mile, post time 4:10. So, getting to work before happy hour, you want to get a little wager in, get yourself a free round of drinks. Start the weekend off right. Here we go. It's 8 furlongs in the dirt at Keeneland. Favorite here, Liam's Map, going off at, even morning line?
Even morning line, yeah.
Okay, Dirt Mile, we got 11 horses here. Liam's Map, some names you might recognize. Tapiture, Wicked Strong, War Story, Lee, Mr. Z is back again. Was there ever any doubt?
It's a horse race.
It's a horse race. Corey, Dirt Mile, what do you think here?
Well, interesting storyline to start out here. Golden Sense had won this race 2 years in a row. He was a back-to-back winner. He's since been retired. So this title is, vacant, if you want to call it that. But I really don't think this is a wide-open race at all. I'm really excited for this race, mostly because I'm really excited for Liam's Map to throttle the field. He's a horse that could be in the Classic, maybe should be in the Classic on Saturday, but he's not. They opted for the shorter distance. Since September of 2014, he has 5 wins and 1 second. That 1 second was in the Grade 1 Whitney to Honor Code earlier this summer. He's a front runner, blazing fast. He's never seen Keeneland before, but he's worked there 3 times. Nothing spectacular, but his works are never really all that good. Trainer Todd Pletcher is thrilled. Really, I think he's a deserving favorite. He's beaten most of these horses before at this distance. He's got a Grade 1. It's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, he's hands down the favorite, even money. If you want to put devil's advocate here, you could try and make a case, I guess, if you want to talk yourself into it. If he's that good, you said he could be in the Classic. Why isn't he? I think it just comes down to the distance, I guess. He's better at the mile here.
He's 2 gallops from being in the Classic. He probably should have won the Whitney, and if he did, he goes there. But he faded a little bit, so they probably made the right move shortening the distance on him.
Yeah, there's really no holes in this horse. Trained by Pletcher, ridden by Castellano. He's a very deserving even money favorite. If you're looking elsewhere, if you do try and beat him, which I know a lot of a lot of the wise guys or stubborn guys, usually most of the time we try and beat somebody with at this number. If you try and beat him, who are some horses we should look for?
Well, I think the big horse that you're going to look for if you're going to try to beat Liam's map is Red Vine out of the one post. He's been on the board every single time this year. He's won once, two place in a show. Last out, he was second in the Kelso handicap. Second may not sound great. It was over a sloppy track, and he beat Honor Code, who is one of the horses to watch out for in the Classic. Two back, he ran third in the Pacific Classic behind Beholder. You're losing to some pretty quality horses here. It's a legit grade one horse. He's worked two straight bullets at Belmont. Now, he had to travel in, but two straight bullets at Belmont on the 17th and 23rd of October. So I think he's a threat. Morning line 6-1, but I really think Liam's map's going to take a lot of money, go below even. You might see Red Vine at 6-7, 8-1. That's where I'd look if you think you're going to beat Liam's map. I would not look to Wicked Strong. That's a trap. That's a name that hasn't won anything since last July, and you just remember it from the Wood Memorial. Don't fall into that. He's not good at this distance. He's missed the board half of his lifetime starts at 1 mile, and he's never hit the board in a graded stake at 1 mile. So I'm not looking toward Wicked Strong. You could try to convince me of Braidster, but last I saw Braidster, I think I was setting a $10 bill on fire betting on him on the Derby undercard, so a little sour grapes there, but I'm not going to play Braidster. I think Liam's map and Red Vine are really your only two options.
Yeah, I'm with you there with Red Vine. Coming out of the one post, he'll be saving ground on the first turn. Likes to, you know, hang back a little bit, stalk, maybe even fall back a little farther. If maybe someone like, I think maybe a speed horse here might be valid looking at the sheets.
Yeah.
If he can maybe tempt Liam's map out there and do a speed duel, this could set up for Red Vine to maybe pick up some pieces late, but I just think Liam map's too strong at this distance. Yeah, it's going to be tough to beat. I don't even know if it's worth trying to beat him here. I think just enjoy this one.
Yeah, there's some, you try to beat an even money favorite at Penn National on Thursdays. I really don't think you try to beat an even money favorite at his preferred distance in the Breeders' Cup.
Well said. Also that day, 5:35, real excited for this one. I'm going to say this every time. Like, all these races are just real fired up for. The Longines Distaff at 5:35. 9 furlongs on the dirt. Some highlights here. Wedding Toast, I'm a Chatterbox, Carolina, you know, Stop Charging Maria. We know her name. Stutter Wind from out west. One glaring omission. I know you would like to just get your girl and address this. Untappable drops out.
Yeah, it sounds like she spiked a fever on Tuesday morning, according to the trainer. And they need to treat her with some antibiotics, which basically disqualifies her from the race for any sort of illegal medication this close. It's a shame. She was the defending champion, reigning horse of the year. They've really been targeting this race all year at the expense of kind of some of the other winning opportunities. So it would have been nice to see what she could put together. She seemed to be rounding into shape, but unfortunately no untappable this weekend.
Yeah, so we're looking at here some of your favorites. Wedding Toast, Stop Charging Maria, maybe Got Lucky, Sheer Drama. Where are you looking here? Oh, of course, your girl. I'm a Chatterbox as well.
Obviously, can't forget her. I think Wedding Toast, see, this is an instance where I'm going to try to beat the favorite. Wedding Toast is listed as the favorite on the morning line. She's won 3 straight graded races, including Grade 1 Ogden 5th. She beat Untappable on Belmont Day. The problem I'm seeing there is, it's twofold. One, she really wants the lead, and she's only really had success at one-turn races. So 2 turns, she looks a little vulnerable, and she's raced at Keeneland once before back in April and threw in a real clunker. Maybe she doesn't like the surface. Maybe she didn't like the 2 turns. A lot of things going against her there, but at 4-1, it just seems too vulnerable. I don't want that. So this is a favorite I'm going to look to beat.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you like I'm a Chatterbox here? You like her shot at all?
I do. I don't like her post position. She drew the one post. But, you know, it kind of is what it is. Luck of the draw. In her last race in the Cotillion, she finally got a grade one victory, even though she already had one 4 weeks before and got disqualified bogusly. Anyway, in the Cotillion, she sat on the rail anyway, despite having a wide post. She kind of tucked in third right against the rail and saved ground that way. So I don't think, as long as she doesn't get pinched off heading to the corner, I don't think that's going to be a big deal for her. Like I said, she finally got over the grade one hump. She could potentially have 2. All year, she's shown a lot of versatility. She's won on the pace. She's rated. She's won from the clouds back, if you want to go back to fairgrounds in the spring. And she's thrown down 3 really nice works at Keeneland the last 3 weeks. So I think I'm a chatterbox at 8-1. Keep in mind, the three-year-old champion, eventual three-year-old champion, did win this race last year. At this point, I'm a chatterbox is your three-year-old filly champion. So I wouldn't count her out just because of the age. I'm also going to look, in order to beat Wedding Toast, to another three-year-old, Carolina. I don't know if you remember this name, but we played Carolina in, like, race four on Oaks Undercard Day.
She crushed.
Against basically donkeys. And she crushed. She was obviously way too good for that competition. It shows now that she's running in the top race for this division. Two grade one scores this year. One of those was the disqualification of I'm a Chatterbox. But even without those two, she was very game in two other grade ones. She's got an excellent post position right outside of the seven, Wedding Toast. So she should be able to stalk her down to the first turn, sit there really nicely. I think Carolina is an absolute factor. You got to pay attention to her. The question is, she's faded late in some races. Will she fade or will she be on her A game?
Yeah, there you go. I'm looking here at the horse I'm looking here at is Yahiwa.
Yeah, Speedball.
Yeah, from what I read about her last time out was in the Spinster. She got in a battle there with Got Lucky. She was on the rail, and it was a rail bias that day, and the negative effect kind of wasn't where she wanted to be. Lost a tough one to Got Lucky then in the end, who put on a pretty big performance. But since then, she's been, by all accounts of the clocker, has been training out of her mind down there at Keeneland, firing some real hard workouts. And at 20-1, for a race like this, where I think it's, there's no real definitive favorite. I mean, I'm not in on Wedding Toast. You aren't either. So I think that opens it up here for a little creativity. At 20-1 price, you get real creative with that. And I think she's definitely worth a look for me, and especially at that number.
I think she's worth a look across the board. My concern with her is she's going to be involved, I think, in a three-way speed duel right off the top with Wedding Toast and with Calamity Kate from the outside. Those really all need to be at the front. They could all burn each other out, or they could all hang and finish 1-2-3. I tend to lean more toward they're all going to burn each other out, but I could absolutely see them getting loose and her being the best out of that crew.
Yeah, one of the horses I want to get to here, Stutter Wind. I had not heard much about her. I know she was coming into the Oaks, the big giant from the West Coast, kind of underperformed there. 12-1. I haven't been as in tune as I'd like to be over the summer, but back in Oaks Day, if you told me 12-1, she'd be like the sixth choice. Kind of been a little surprised. She's taking a turn for the worse. Maybe she can regain some of her old form. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, I'm not convinced she can ship. She's never, if I'm correct, she's never won outside the state of California. I think she's only tried that one time when they sent her to Kentucky, and she really wasn't on her A game that day. So whether you want to call that a bounce or not, I think I do. I'm not going to play her this weekend, but that's just one of those stands you have to take, and if she beats me, she beats me.
No, absolutely. Yeah, so in here from you're going after Wedding Toast, obviously.
Yep.
And you're going to try and hit it with I'm a Chatterbox, maybe Carolina.
I'm going to play the one, I'm a Chatterbox. I'm going to play Wedding Toast second and third into some exactas and trifectas. I'm also going to make sure I'm including Sheer Drama out of the 14. She won a grade one her last time out. Not really all that dominating, but she has won two grade ones in a row in gritty fashion, so I'm not willing to discount her. And I'm also going to look to Carolina, like we talked about. So I'm going to play 1-7-14-8 in some order.
All right, good deal. And that wraps up Friday for you. Get the old appetizer for Saturday. Huge day. We're going to start off here at 12:05, so 12 noon, with the Juvenile Fillies 10 horse field. It is, let's see, a mile and a 16th on the dirt. I said in the production meeting, this is going to be a two horse race, and you kind of hesitated a little bit, said it might be a three. So, besides Rachel's Valentina, who is the second foal of Rachel Alexandra.
Yes.
The monster girl. And Songbird. Who is this other horse we're looking at here?
If I give you one guess, you could get it. Tap to it.
I wonder why.
Tap it is the most relevant sire in sports racing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't think he is, I believe, Tonalist Father, Tapiture, Frosted, Untappable. now this Tap to It looks like another competent racehorse. But besides just the pedigree, she also produced a really hard surge to finish second to Rachel Valentina a couple weeks ago in the Spinaway. I really think she could have won that race. For as much as people love Rachel Valentina, I don't see how you watch that race and love one and don't love the other. And the price is a whole lot better. 8-1 morning line on Tap to It. I think Songbird, who is absolutely looking to blaze out of the gate and just go wire to wire, might soften everybody up. And Tap to It seemed to have a nice kick last time out. I think I'm actually playing Tap to It to win.
Ooh, okay. I might as well. We got Songbird 7-5 morning line, Rachel's Valentina 7-2, and then Tap to It 8-1 on the morning line. That's pretty good value there.
Yes.
As far as if you, 8-1 and I think what a 3-horse field for what I mean. Some people think it's. I mean, they're 2-year-old fillies.
Right.
You never know. Actually, playing off that 8-1, if there's one horse to look, I think it's the other 8-1, Landover C. She's in the one post, which isn't ideal, but she was not chasing down. She was hanging with Songbird in the chandelier last time out.
Yeah. She was running even.
Yeah.
She was well behind. Well,
that's what I meant. I mean, she wasn't losing ground on Songbird, who's, I mean, the more line favorite here. So, I mean, these 2-year-olds can grow pretty fast. Maybe she'll have something here for the others. She could hit the board. I'm not saying she will, but
yeah.
Just looking for something here besides Rachel's Valentina and Songbird.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not much to say about Rachel Valentina and Songbird other than the fact that they're both undefeated. They've both been extremely impressive on opposite sides of the country, and now we get to figure out which one of them is actually better. So I do think, as with any 2-year-olds, you can probably look elsewhere and get really reasonable value. I don't know the favorite's going to hold up here, so I'll take my shots at 8-1. Especially, I'll probably play her across the board.
Do not quote me on this, but I feel like Rachel Valentina missed a work.
Yep.
Last few days?
Yeah. Last week sometime. They were a little concerned about a fever or cough or something, but she seems to be fine. No concerns about scratching out.
All right. Good deal. I mean, if you're missing the work, I mean, this close to the race, it's really nothing, I feel like.
Yeah.
You're pretty much wound up for the race by now. So that shouldn't be an issue. Stay tuned for that. That is Saturday at 12:05. 2-horse race turns into a 4-horse race. You never know. You got nickname. Ma can do it. I'm just naming names now, but who knows? 2-year-old fillies. Sticking with the 2-year-olds, race 9 that day is what, 4:10 looks like?
4:10.
4:10. The 2-year-old males, or colts, take the track. The juveniles, this is a 14-horse race, a mile and a 16th. Last year's juvenile, if you remember, a lot of the horses stuck around in the Triple Crown season. I believe, like 8 or 9 of them made it pretty far into even April. You know, Carpe Diem, the Great War, Texas Red battled out a little early. But definitely it was a solid crew last year. This year's crew, all the buzz is around the morning line favorite, 9-2 Nyquist, the Doug O'Neill trained horse. You got horses here. I mean, reading all kinds of names from Greenpoint Crusader to Rallis, Exaggerator, Swipe, Brody's Cause, Radar Superstar. I think it's a Randy Orton play on words there. Cocked and Loaded, Riker, Conquest Big E. I wrote my notes here. Toss up. I don't know where I'm going with this. Do you have any insight on this?
Well, I know about a month ago I sent you a text that said Nyquist just won the front runner and he's the immediate Derby favorite. I think that's still the case. He actually had to really grind out that win. He was more impressive. He's 4-0 now. He's more impressive in the first three. Really had to dig down and just barely edge out Swipe, who's actually finished second to him 3 straight times. He won this one by about a neck, but he showed some explosiveness at the top of the stretch to even get to the front. And then, like I said, a lot of heart, kind of Dortmund-esque to finish that race off as they were banging bodies. So I think both Nyquist and Swipe are relevant here. But I was just most impressed by Nyquist over these others. Like you mentioned, Brody's Cause. I think he's, now this is going to sound kind of dumb because Texas Red won this race last year, but he's kind of like Texas Red in that he just made one huge move all the way from the back in the Breeders' Futurity, and he somehow found a lane and really really ran well the last quarter of a mile. The pace wasn't too hot, so he can probably duplicate that again, especially if he gets any sort of lead to run into. But this is a big field, and there's going to be a lot of traffic. I don't know if he can get there. He'll be coming, but I don't know if he can get there. And then Greenpoint Crusader won the Champagne at Belmont. It was a sloppy track. He kind of fell down leaving the gate. I didn't really take much out of that, other than the fact that when he saw daylight, when he got to the top of the stretch and there was no longer an animal in front of him, he really took off. So maybe he's something to watch for, but I think Nyquist is the most impressive of this group. Again, same caveats as we just talked about. They're two-year-olds. We don't really know. I would not bet your life savings on this race, but I think the winner, if it's one of these three or four we just talked about, is immediately the favorite in Derby Futures Pool 1, which opens up at the end of November. If it's one of the others, I think Nyquist has a chance to stick as the favorite, but I'm going to play Nyquist, the 13, and hope. There's not a lot of value there, but I think he's the best.
That's fair. Yeah, I think just for that reason, you could go the other way, and 92, no real value, and a kind of a toss-up here. I mean, I think he gets a class this race, but, you know, I'm just going to throw him out just to, you know, try and get a little tricky here. Greenpoint Crusader, who's 4-1. This is his first time going two turns.
Yep.
I mean, every horse has to do it at some point in their career, so it's not like a huge negative. That could go both ways. Just for that, you know, take a stand, throw him out there. Brody's Cause, I mean, he's intriguing. Exaggerator's intriguing. I'm going to look here to what I've been reading as the Wise Guy horse, which kind of scares me a little bit because he's a buzz horse and some of the out west and some of the Vegas books and things and some of the more keen horse players. Unbridled Outlaw. What is he going off at? 15-1. I don't know much about him, so I'm not going to tell you I do. But he came out second in the... He was third in the Iroquois last time out with just a disastrous trip. I know we're looking at a real small sample size of races here with trips and figures and all that. So basically this is just a potential hunch, I guess. If he gets a better trip, I think he's got a good pedigree there with... what was I looking at there? Oh, obviously Unbridled Song, you see that name all over the place. But this is more of a field play, and the Wise Guys, you know, it's like taking the Vikings plus 8 in Green Bay. It's like, I mean, you never know. And all of a sudden the Vikings lose by 7. But this race for me is just definitely wide open. I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4 here just for the hell of it. Unbridled Outlaw, Exaggerator, Rallis, and Conquest Big E. I read Conquest Big E was named after Big E was pretty prominent in that barn. I guess there were... Some people think they're saving that name for a special horse. Now 30-1, I mean, I guess you can't be that special, but maybe sit on something, but the rail hurts, so throw him in there late. Nyquist, I could see him winning by 2 lengths here. I have no idea.
We didn't overlap at all in the top 4. That should concern people.
Yeah.
I wrote 13-12, which is Nyquist and Swipe, Greenpoint Crusader, and Brody's Cause.
And I'm at 4-9-10-1. Do you want to place a dollar bet on more horses hitting the board?
I will take your dollar bet.
Top 4.
Out of those 4.
top 4 plays.
If we split, you win because you were way off the
beaten. Okay, I will put that in the fantasy message board.
Sounds good.
Put it on the board. Next up, we're just gonna let's see. That was 8.5 furlongs, by the way. Let's do a real quick note here on the Longines Turf at 450, 12 furlongs, 1.5 miles. It's a beast of a race. I'm going to ask you one question. Can anyone beat Golden Horn?
Can or will?
Okay, well, can, yes.
Yes.
Does Golden Horn win this race?
Yeah. Yes. With a lot of things going against him, but yes, I think he does.
Yeah, I think so too. Golden Horn is he from what, England?
He's from Great Britain.
Great Britain.
8 races lifetime, 7 wins and a second.
And that second was by a neck, I think.
Yeah. And they said they're a little leery of potential soft turf because it's been raining, but I really think it's going to take something special or some potential collusion of the Ramsey horses for one to go out and just burn him up early and hope that Big Blue Kitten can mop it up at the end. But if you're looking, because, I mean, Golden Horn's the biggest morning line number that there is. He's 4-5. If you're looking Big Blue Kitten at 8-1, I'd give him a fighting chance. Twilight Eclipse at 20-1 potentially. And if you want to go a little bigger across the board, I don't know that he wins, but I could definitely see him finishing second or third. The Pizza Man.
Absolutely.
15-1. He's going to be coming like a train in the last couple hundred yards.
Yeah, I'm 100% rooting for the Pizza Man this race.
Did the Pizza Man and Pepperoni have ever run against each other?
Oh, gosh, that'd be a good race. Although, they're completely different distances. Pepperoni, I think if you went more than a mile, would pass out on the track. But, no, yeah, the Pizza Man, I think I'm rooting for him 80% because of his name, 15% because he is American, and Golden Horn's European, and 5% just because I love those late charging freight trains coming down the track.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that race. I think when it's all said and done, the really dark black of Golden Horn is going across
first. Oh, by the way, I want to mention that too. Is he not one of the most beautiful horses you've ever seen?
Yeah, he's dark.
I think he's better looking than Revolutionary.
I mean, I guess, sure.
I've always been a big Revolutionary fan. As far as I hope that didn't get too weird there. So there we go. I mean, there's races all over the place here. We'll even maybe drop a line or two in the end here. But the big, what everyone's really turning out for here is the Breeders' Cup Classic, the $5 million race. I'll go over the whole field here. 10 horses, Total List, Keen Ice, Frosted, American Pharoah, Glen Eagles, FNX, Smooth Roller, Hard Aces, Honor Code, and Beholder. Very solid field here. And you really can't go wrong. I'm gonna give you the floor here. Just, go through some of these horses you like. I mean, we've heard a lot of these names before. Tonalist, Keen Ice, Frost, American Pharoah, go wherever you want.
Let's start with the big ticket item, I suppose. We'll start with American Pharoah. Obviously, last seen by most winning the Triple Crown. He's actually run twice since then. One time in New Jersey, dominating the Haskell, which included Keen Ice, and one time at Saratoga. With some questionable motives, I think, as we've discussed previously, I don't think he should have been there. I don't think you think he should have been there. But they did it, and that was the connection's prerogative. And they basically set him up for failure, and he got bounced. So for those of you that don't know, American Pharoah has been defeated this summer. That being said, he's still the 6-5 favorite. He drew a fantastic post, the 4-post. And it's kind of business as usual from the American Pharoah camp. He just turned in a monster work out west and flew in, I believe, Monday, maybe Tuesday.
You got in Tuesday afternoon, yeah.
Tuesday afternoon, yeah. So he just got into to Kentucky, which isn't all that strange. And I think it's going to be a typical race. He's going to go to the lead. He wants it badly, but I don't think he needs it. We saw him in the Kentucky Derby win from slightly off the lead when he just kind of stalked firing line around. But he's in all likelihood going to be out front. That's where he's had his easiest races, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Haskell. And honestly, I think you're going to know at the half-mile point what kind of race this is, because if they let him go, it's over. And I think they know that. I really do. Everyone should have learned their lesson both at the Belmont last year and in this very race last year with Byron when they let him go and couldn't catch him. Someone is going to go out, whether sound tactics or not, someone's going to go out and try to challenge him. Because I just think they have to. If you let him go at the front and let him set his pace, it's done. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think we agree it's not going to be Frosted.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Unless he wants to pull a kamikaze again, like he did in the Belmont.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I think you can cross Frosted off that list. But who I do think it's going to be, and this is not exactly a controversial opinion, I think it's coming from the wide outside. It's going to be Beholder. It's going to be the filly. She's the champion filly. She's entered versus males for the second time this year. The first time was probably the most impressive horse race we've seen performance-wise at least this summer.
She looked good.
She wired the field in the Pacific Classic, won by, I think the official call was 9.5 lengths, against a field that included last year's Classic winner, Byron. Not the same horse, but still. So I think the outside draw is a little iffy for her. The good news on that is Honor Code and Hard Aces, two horses that are almost certainly going to be near the back, start directly to her inside. So she should have plenty of room to get over and get to the middle of the track where she'll probably meet Pharoah. And it's just a matter of how hard they go early. But I think those are going to be your two leaders. And that's not a very, I don't think I'm stepping out on a very thin limb there.
No, I think you're right. I don't know much what Smooth Roller's going to do. He debuted as a 4-year-old in June.
Mm-hmm.
So the sample size is still kind of small there. I mean, he can look at it one way as, hey, we got nothing to lose. Glenn Eagles is very intriguing. Shipping over, I don't see much early out of him. I mean, Keen Ice has already moved up from a deep closure to a, more of a stalking sense. He's not going to go up there at all.
No.
Tonalist down the rail, he's going to have a hard time getting up there. And
Tonalist is the other one that I wanted to mention, if we can stop there for a second.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The one post, I think, really changes the outlook on Tonalist. And the reason I say that is, after last year's Classic, which Tonalist was entered in, trainer Christophe Clement was quoted as saying something along the lines of, I outthought myself. And by that, he meant he sent Tonalist out without blinkers, and he's constantly been putting blinkers on, taking them off, on, off. But he sent out Tonalist in the Classic with no blinkers. He got too far back, immediately fell to the back of the field, and could not run down Byron. And Clement said, that's on me. I knew the speed was out there. I should have had him in blinkers. He could have been up closer to the front, had a better crack at it. The implication there is that knowing Farrow was the speed this year, he was going to go try to get him. But I don't think he's going to from the one hole. From the one, you basically have to shoot out of a cannon and get totally clear, or you're going to get pinched off of going to the first corner. So if he does that, he's going to expend too much energy. And if he doesn't do that, he's in the same spot he was last year, all the way in the back. I just think the post position really, really hung Tonalist out to dry there.
So
combining all those things, or I guess I should say in the absence of those things, I was thinking of playing Tonalist. I thought he was a contender. All those factors, I'm throwing him out.
Do you think it's fair to say if Tonalist wears blinkers, that gives away what he's doing in the race?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you, too, do you know if he's wearing blinkers?
I don't think that's been decided yet.
I don't think so either. I actually listened to a podcast yesterday, and they said the guy was saying if he wears them, I'm going to play him. But, I mean, judging by if he wears them, he's going to go out, and I don't think he wants to do that. Because do you agree that American Pharoah already holds the tactical edge in this race? What is it?
Yeah.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Like he's in control. He's already in control pretty much.
Yes.
He knows what everyone's pretty much going to do, and they need to adjust to him because he's proven he can go out and wire the field, or he can sit back a little bit and just follow a horse around and then make a move in the far turn.
Yes.
That's definitely an advantage for him. And, well, obviously he has that advantage because he's so good. He's versatile. A very good horse. Keen Ice here. I wanna play him, but, I mean, just the respect. I mean, I had him back in February, second place in the Derby, kind of a little early on him, but I'm not going to play him here. Tonalist, I really want to play him, but, you know, you got to take a stand here somewhere, and I think all that confusion there, if he was maybe farther outside, I would definitely look for that. Frosted intriguing. I think I'm kind of talking myself back into Frosted, like, one more go-around, but I don't know if he's going to have the help and the racing luck to help him out there.
I think Frosted's going to be sitting just off the pace, which is where he wants to be. He's not going to be the suicide mission candidate again, as he was in the Travers. But I think when it comes down to it, he's going to have a crack at the lead. He will turn for home with open space in front of him, and I just don't think he can get there.
No.
There's a number of horses that I think are going to close better than Frosted is.
Two of them, Hard Aces, Honor Code, they'll be... There is an Honor Code pretty much reliant on the pace?
No.
You think he can chase down a Pharaoh if it's not a hot pace?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think if you go back and rewatch some of the Honor Code races from this year, specifically the Kelso, which he didn't win, but sloppy track, they were basically swimming. He's been sitting slightly closer. The only one that he was truly not good in this year was the Ali Sheba back on Derby Day. Other than that, he's got the two biggest wins in this field. And honestly, I don't think the pace is going to be an issue because I think it's going to be fast. It's going to be Beholder. It's going to be Pharaoh. And I guess if we're late enough, I can give this away. Honor Code's going to pick up the pieces and win the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Ooh, I like it. He's got Javier Castellano on. I do like that. I mean, all these jocks are world class, but Castellano's probably my favorite one. So I'm usually rooting for him. Pharaoh and the Mare Beholder going out, dueling it out. I, you know what, I think this is the year of Farrell. I think Farrell wins this race. I think tactically it sets up for him. I think he's really set on some of all those workouts. He has this, what, I think it's a 9-week layoff. He got the rest up. And he's already proven he can come back off an 8-week layoff in the Haskell. And granted, this is a tougher field, but, you know, Frost was still in there. I think Keen Ice might have been it too. I don't recall.
He was. Finished second.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Beholder is a beast, though. She's, what, 15 wins out of 20 starts. She's definitely a force to reckon with. On our code, though, he's been around, he's on the map. He's, this four-year-old year, he would have been a name we could have mentioned last year with California Chrome had he not gotten hurt.
Yes.
And he came on in the second half of the year and really proved his worth. And he's kept that up this year. And he is a freight train coming down. Another dark horse. Nice to look at.
Yeah. You're going to find him in the center of the track going twice the speed as everybody else down the home stretch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, down the back stretch, he won't even be in the picture. He'll probably be 12 lengths off the back. Entering the far turn, he'll move in. And if you need any convincing, go back and watch the Met Mile and watch the Whitney the last 45 seconds. And that's what you're going to see out of Honor Code, I have a feeling, on Saturday.
Nice. I'm going to say Honor Code comes up just short. Farrell wins. He wears out Beholder. And, you know, I'm gonna say Tonalist gets third. Beholder fades to fourth. I don't think Beholder wants to get up there with Farrell as much as neck and neck as she. I mean, I think she's going to, but I don't think it's in her best interest to do it. Then again, she's a very special horse. If she won this race, I would not be surprised. Would you?
I would be surprised.
Ooh, really? Okay.
I think she's in over her head.
Okay.
And not necessarily with the. With any individual horse, any single one of these in a match race, I would give her a fair shake. But I just think the combination of all of them, even if she manages to turn back Farrell for the first mile and an eighth, when you look over your shoulder and you see Honor Code and Keen Ice coming, you can't coast home. It's got to be a very complete effort, and I don't know that she had to do that in the Pacific Classic. It looked impressive, but she had that race put away early. So I have Beholder missing the board, but I don't know if you skipped entirely or very lightly grazed over my second place horse.
Don't say Glen Eagles.
Absolutely not. No, not Glen Eagles. Eagles has never even run on the dirt and never run.
Okay, good. It threw him out immediately. I mean, I mentioned FNX, but.
Yeah, you mentioned FNX.
Smooth Roller?
I'm disappointed. Smooth Roller. You love these types.
I know, but I get burned by them.
You what?
I get burned by them.
I know you get
burned. I fall into these, like, love fest immediately, and I've stopped it.
He is 3 of 4 lifetime. He's never lost over a mile. Like you said, he debuted this year in, I think, June?
Yes.
As a 4-year-old. So very small sample size there. Really lightly raced. Should be fresh. And his win in the Awesome Again at Santa Anita on September 26th was amazing.
It was the Great War of the 96 Rock, like, type win.
Sure.
Yeah, you remember that, you win that Western Union race, you won by like 30 lengths.
Yeah. Well, he sat back and just blew past Byron. He probably won by 6 or 7 lengths. Barely any whip was used. There were some good horses in that race. Outside of Byron, we had Opportunity, who put together a pretty nice campaign this year, despite the fact he's not running this weekend. And Hard Aces, who runs in this very race, pulled even with him in the corner and got blown away from there on out. He did some really impressive things to that field. I think, I'm not going to say he's going to win, but he's going to stalk right off the pace with Frosted. I think he's better than Frosted. He will run down some people in the stretch, could potentially win the race. He's 15-1 on the morning line. If you give me anything close to that, I'm playing him. And I'm playing him across the board at that number.
No, believe me, I want to. Maybe you just got me back into him.
I really, really like him. And I actually sat around for a week saying, oh man, Ant's going to intro this and talk about Smooth Roller and steal my thunder. And you left him out entirely.
But, yeah, and that was why.
Right.
And now I'm mad you brought him back into my thought process.
9-7-4-2. Honor Code, Smooth Roller, Farrow, Keen Ice as your super.
My super is going 4-9. You know what? I'm back on Smooth Roller. 4-9-7. one totalist, does something weird and gets fourth. Beholder, we'll give her fifth. 4971.
That sounds good.
So I'm kind of back on Smooth Roller a little bit. And this happens. God, I can't do this.
Smooth Roller, lucky number 7. Come on, man.
Damn it. True. All right, there you have it. There's the classic picks. Tune in for that 5:35 Saturday. Tune in at 5 just to be safe. Guess for the pregame. Before we got a few more things here. We got lock and long shot. Two more races we want to get to just touch on. One here, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. You're not ready for this. The Turf Sprint, not the Twin Spires. It's confusing here. I just want to mention Bobby's Kitten, your defending champ. Really like that horse. And the Great War is back. He's feeling good. Coming off some big efforts. Closing really fast lately. Keep an eye on him. 12-15 to 1. It's a pretty solid price. I like that. I'm going to look more into that as the week progresses. And another sprint, the Twin Spires Sprint. Race 7 on Saturday. 2 speedballs in this race, Steve.
Yeah, we got... I mean, this is a 6-furlong race. They're going to be done with this in no time at all. But I'm looking toward Private Zone. He can fly. So that's where I'm gonna go to. If you're just looking to win or lose some money in about 50 seconds, this is your spot.
I'm gonna go head to head to you on that, and I love Run Happy so fast.
Okay.
We might need to do a bet on that too at some point.
Okay.
That's gonna be sweet. Those two are. Just go to the front and just go.
Yeah. There's no stalking the pace. There's no laying back for one big run in the sprint races. No, it's balls to the wall the whole time.
Good stuff. All right. As we usually do in this podcast, we usually put our stamp down on something we firmly believe in. Steve, what is your lock of the weekend?
I think I tipped my hand on this earlier, and it's not exactly the sexiest pick in the world. But Liam's Map is going to win the Dirt Mile very comfortably on Friday afternoon, I have a feeling.
Yeah, he's going off at, what, even money?
He's even on morning. He's going to be 3-5. You're not going to get rich on him, but if you want one to break the seal, to set the tone for the weekend, I think that's where you go.
Okay, yeah, you can't go wrong there. If I had to go lock, it's race 10 on Saturday. Golden Horn, 1.5 miles on the turf, shipping in, I don't care what he's doing. He just won the Arc de Triomphe in France, and it was kind of, I guess that was his main goal. That's the icing on the cake. Lock up Golden Horn, 4-5. I mean, I guess locks are guaranteed, and he's a favorite, so give me that. But I'm rooting for the pizza man. If you had to also give out your best value play of the weekend, maybe a long shot to even hit the board, even get you some money.
I'm going to give you 2, and I've already given them. Smooth Roller in the Classic and the Pizza Man in the Turf.
Oh, love it. I'm going to give you 2 as well in the... I forget all these mixed up. In the Juno... No, not the Juno Phillies. The Distaff. Give me Yahiwa. Yahiwa. I'll get that right one of these days. Yahiwa, and that's in the Distaff at 20-1. And you know what? I was going to give it... I can't believe you didn't mention Undrafted in the Turf Sprint.
Yeah, I've been burned too many times on Undrafted.
Yeah, that is Wes Welker's horse, for those of you who aren't aware. I'm not going to give out the Great War on that because I don't want Wes Welker to beat me. That would be annoying. So I'm going to give out Yahiwa. And you know what? Who knows? Let's just take a roll on Unbridled Outlaw. I know that race is a complete toss-up, but hey, at 15-1, screw it. But
there's some good advice hidden in here somewhere, and that's it. Anything at 15-1 or higher in these races, they deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Playing across the board probably has some value.
Absolutely, yeah. We definitely mentioned some of our longer shots in the recaps here. I have papers all over the place here, so I'm not really thinking completely straight right now, but there's definitely value out there. Hit us up on Twitter, HolyTryFootball, or CR6379. We can give you some picks if you really want. Will Bags, D-Berg, anybody who's listening out there, feel free. And that's all I got for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Real fired up for it, man.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome weekend.
And one question for you before we leave. This Saturday, guys, noon. Not many people know this. The Rugby World Cup Final. Huge matchup in the world stage. The All Blacks against the Wallabies. New Zealand, Australia. New Zealand, 6.5 point favorite. What side do you like here, Steve?
New Zealand. And I knew you were going to ask me this question.
How'd you know this?
Because I thought of the most random thing you could possibly ask me.
You really are. New Zealand gets their captain back, Richie McCaw, after that. Well, he's not back, but he could have been suspended for a little dirty play in the semifinal there. Australia skated by Scotland in the quarters. Yeah, this is New Zealand. 6.5. I'll lay that for sure. The All Blacks win it in London, away from home, which they haven't been able to do recently. And you know what? Since, damn it, you got that one right. Who wins the World Series? KC up 1-0. Game 2 starting. It already started.
The Mets are going to win in 6.
Okay. You heard them there. All right, well, there you have it, guys. Appreciate listening. There will be a football podcast dropped. Maybe it already did drop by the time you listen to this, or in a few hours when you listen to this. Either way, this will be Thursday when this is dropped, and football week 9 ahead of us. Rough out for that. Breeders' Cup, great weekend, NBA, World Series, NHL, NFL. Great time of the year, guys. Hope you enjoy it. Steve, thanks for doing this, man.
No problem, man. We'll hopefully see you Saturday, and let's win some money.
Yeah, and this will be the last one of these for the year. We will catch up to you in February.
Absolutely. Go Vols.
Go Vols. Good deal. All right, guys. Check us out on Twitter. Send us an email. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.